Hello, and welcome back to the Living Truth Ministries podcast. I'm so glad that you're joining me as we continue the series, What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. I am your host, Stacy Caglin, and today's lesson is entitled, The Turning Point. Today, we will learn not to fear, nor to be dismayed. We will learn to recognize that the battle belongs to God and how to position ourselves for victory. Last week, we learned how to have hope for the future and not to focus on our present circumstances, but rather to put our trust in God in the future. We also learned what hope in the future is and how to apply that hope to dispel weariness and to receive spiritual renewal. Most importantly, we learned there is power in hope if we place our hope in God, our Father. Now, let's place our hope in God as I declare this proclamation from Isaiah 55:10-11. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. The Turning Point. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. 2 Chronicles 20:14-18. His name was Jehaziel. He appears on the pages of Scripture but once. Yet his message impacts the destiny of an entire nation. His words were pregnant with the potential of a turning point in Israel's circumstances. But to accept his message, God's people must reject carnal reasoning for divine revelation. In every circumstance you face, for which you have no answer, there comes a turning point, a moment in time when all of a sudden, in answer to your perplexities and prayers, God reveals his plan. The details vary according to each situation, but no two sets of circumstances are identical. But there are common elements evident in divine revelation. These are noted in the words of Jehaziel, which marked Israel's turning point. Do not be afraid. As we learned in previous episodes, carnal reasoning generates fear. Divine revelation, however, empowers you to face the enemy unafraid. Many years previously, when Israel stood at the border of their promised land, God warned them, Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Numbers 14:9. The inhabitants of Canaan were labeled bread, meaning that Israel's encounter with their enemies would actually result in spiritual strengthening. The Lord is with you, and there is no need to fear. When you face your circumstances in His strength, your problems become as bread to you and result in the spiritual strengthening. Israel refused to heed God's command and wandered for 40 years in a desert wilderness. Years later, Moses sadly reminded them, Then I said to you, Do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you, He will fight for you, according to all He did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Deuteronomy 1:29-30. Carnal reasoning says to retreat from the threatening circumstances. Rationalization dictates that you must learn to coexist with an enemy because you aren't strong enough to conquer him. But God says He will fight for you. But He can only go before you if you are advancing against the enemy and facing each challenge in his strength. God cannot go before you if you are retreating. Prior to his death, Moses gave a similar admonition to his successor. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed." Deuteronomy 31:7-8. Do you know why the enemy wants to keep you in indecision of not knowing what to do? He knows God has a divine destiny, a spiritual inheritance for you. If you are strong, of good courage, and advance with God leading the way, you will fulfill it. Do not be dismayed. The next portion of Jehaziel's message to Israel was, "Do not be dismayed." Dismay means alarm, apprehension, anxiety, and dread. Each of the following phrases have a hidden meaning. For example, "be careful" advises the voice of alarm, and "I just don't feel right about this" suggests the voice of apprehension, or "this just won't work for me" cautions anxiety. And lastly, "you were never good at confrontation." That dictates dread. When you are trapped in any of these cycles, you will not advance in faith to conquer your problem. Recognize that the battle is God's. You become fearful and dismayed when you face the battles of life armed with your limited human resources. You must always remember that the battle is not yours, but God's. The problem is not yours. It is God's problem. We should move in God's timing. "Tomorrow, go down against them," instructed Jehaziel. When you don't know what to do, don't do anything until you know what to do, and then act in God's timing. Here are some biblical examples of waiting on God's perfect timing. Noah shut the door of the ark at the specific time commanded by God. The death angel passed over Egypt at the set time. Esther waited until perfect timing of God to appear before the king with her request, and she saved an entire nation. Jesus was born in the fullness of time and rose from the dead on the third day, the exact time that it was predicted. Carnal reasoning always dictates haste. You better do something now because tomorrow may be too late. God's word indicates, however, that spiritual victories come to those who learn to wait. "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Psalm 27:14. "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Isaiah 40:31. "Then you will know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed who wait for me." Isaiah 49:23. "I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope." Psalm 130:5. "Position yourself for victory." You will not need to fight, instructed Jehaziel. "Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord." Charles Spurgeon observes, "Despair tempts us to give up. Cowardice calls us to retreat. Presumption says, step out, advance into enemy territory, and fight for your rights and expect a miracle. Precipitancy says, don't just stand there, do something. But faith listens neither to presumption nor despair, not to cowardice nor to precipitancy. But it hears God say, stand still, keep the position of the upright man, ready for action, expecting further orders, cheerfully and patiently awaiting direction. Jesus' disciples went fishing one night and caught nothing. At Jesus' command, however, they rejected carnal reasoning and threw their nets into the water one more time. They responded in faith and hauled in the catch of a lifetime. Who knows what rich bounty lies beneath the empty boat of your own failures? Rejecting reason. The turning point in every dilemma of life comes when human reasoning is rejected and divine revelation is embraced. Some examples include when Noah rejected reason, built an ark on dry ground, and his family was saved. and when Moses rejected reason and led the Israelites across the Red Sea. When Joshua rejected reason and conquered Jericho with shouts and blasts of ram's horns. And when a poor widow rejected selfish reasoning, baked a cake for the prophet from the last of her meal and oil, and her supply of staples was replenished continually for the duration of the famine. And at the prophet's word, a debt-ridden widow borrowed vessels from her neighbors and began to pour from a single container of oil. The oil continued to flow until every vessel was filled. Then she sowed the oil and paid her debts. And the prophet Elijah prepared a sacrifice, drenched it in water, and then called for the fire of God to fall. Against all human reasoning, the flames consumed both sacrifice and water. And when the prophet Ezekiel rejected human reasoning and at God's command paraded through the streets in his dirty underwear on a stick, what a sight to see. And when a little boy rejected reason, offered his lunch to Jesus, and a multitude was fed. And lastly, when the apostle Peter rejected reason, when he heard Jesus say, "Come," in the strength of that one word, he got out of the boat and walked on water. You must learn to reject the voice of human reasoning when you face situations for which there seems to be no answer. Do not listen to education, tradition, religion, or experience. Listen to God. One word from God is more powerful in your circumstances than an entire discourse emanating from human reasoning. God's plan for Jehoshaphat defied human reasoning. Instead of calling Israel to arms, training them to follow orders and fight valiantly, Jehoshaphat told Israel two things: believe in the Lord and believe in his prophets. Nowadays, this whole believe in yourself fad is all backwards. You can only carry yourself so far before life throws a curveball and knocks you back down. If you continue to go through life only depending on your own human abilities, you may miss something even greater that God had planned. We should believe in God, who is greater than ourselves. I challenge you this week to put God's plans above your own and see how different the results will be. I hope you will join me next week as we will learn about the 6 stages of revelation knowledge. And until then, may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you, and may he keep you in all your ways. And may you have a great rest of your day.
Join Stacy next week as she continues the series, What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. We are on Facebook, PodPoint, LTM Radio, LTBC, and LTM website. Harvest Time International Institute and Living Truth Bible College furnish all material. You can find helpful material like this and more by going to www.myltbc.org. Again, that's myltbc.org. If you enjoy Stacy's teachings, let her know. Or if you have questions concerning today's lesson, then send her an email. Her email address is stacy@ltm4christ.com. Again, that's stacy@ltm4christ.com. This broadcast is brought to you by Living Truth Ministries.